The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview at Irish Racing's headquarters in Ireland today. It's racing in the Curragh, an 8-race card there. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action, as always, is Irish racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark.
Good, good man. Good card at the Curragh today.
Yeah, competitive stuff, isn't it? Yeah, this meeting always attracts large fields and hasn't let us down on that front today. No, great quality, but certainly made up for in quantity and some interesting maidens kick off, and my Napa run in the last race, which won't surprise many regular listeners to William Hill Radio and podcasters, because I've been banging on about this horse I've been waiting for quite a while. So we'll get onto that when it comes to race 8.
Okay, I might know which one it is, but
yeah, might. Yeah, you're obviously listening.
Yes,
one of the only few that do listen.
Oh, so. Dear. Anyway, that's race 8, so we've got 7 more to get through before that, and the first of which is the 1:45. We start with an EBF Fillies maiden over a mile, and the betting this morning is headed by Afternoon Sunlight, and you can probably see why. A very pleasing couple of efforts. She's a See the Stars filly, and she followed subsequent group winner My Titania home at Leopardstown last time. She's definitely going the right way, Andy. Is today going to be the day she gets ahead in front?
Yeah, I think so. I think the market's got about right, round about the even money mark for all this Afternoon Sunlight. You quite rightly pointed out, bumped into one, as they say, on her last start. That was at Leopardstown, behind My Titania, who's obviously franked the form in no uncertain terms. And they were nicely clear with the rest as well. They did get strung out on that occasion. You know, she ran all the way to the line, just running, come up against the horses, obviously in rated over the 100, so she's going to be lucky to bump into another one here rated so highly. Possibly you could argue that Dance with Another's got a bit of a upside, following that run last time out behind Tested, but Tested is trained, of course, by Dermot Weld, so you'd like to think that he'd know where he's got most of this field covered on a line through Tested, because that, like I say, won a maiden in a similar fashion here last time out. So it is very difficult to get away from Afternoon Sunlight. She is very unoriginal selection, but looks the obvious starting point.
Okay. Race 2 then, next, Andy. This is the 2:15. It's another EBF Fillies maiden. This one is over the 6-furlong trip, though, and the betting for this one is headed by Sparrow, who's 13-8, and she's another filly that's going the right way. She could be tough to beat with the benefit of experience under her belt, but an interesting one here that hasn't raced as well. Prudent Approach is a sister to New Approach, which is to Dawn Approach, rather. Interesting breeding. What do you make of those two? Because those two are the ones that are dominating the betting, Andy.
Yeah, well, Sparrow definitely does set a good standard, I think. That run behind Tested, which is going to be advertised by Dance with Another, comes under scrutiny. And I thought she ran a perfectly respectable race, considering she was well beat on her debut, only beat one home. Massive improvement from run one to run two. And likely, if she goes the right way again, to be very difficult to beat here. She showed good speed throughout. She's just got outpaced by a horse who actually quickened up the best from the 3-furlong pole on that afternoon. You know, that Tested looks a really, really smart horse. And I actually think the drop back down to 6 furlongs will be absolutely no problem for her. She's also got a very good draw. That should also be pointed out as well. Very significant here today to be as close as you can towards the standside rail, which is the tradition here at the Curragh. So drawn 15 of 17... with a two-year-old who's got the experience of a couple of runs already, I think that's going to stand this horse in very good stead. Obviously, Prudent Approach has got to be seriously monitored throughout the morning and in the build-up to the race, because she's been putting very, very short this morning. So obviously, one or two shrewd punters have obtained decent prices about her overnight. So a big run's expected, a filly by New Approach. Obviously, the ground should be fine for her. Most New Approaches want a decent ground, which is likely to be the case today at the Curragh. To be fair, the rest of them probably aren't up to the quality expected of the front two in the market. Zane Deera, she's had a couple of runs and she's just caught on the coattails in a couple of races here at the Curragh, but I don't think her overall form amounts to a great deal. And Golden Amber would be the other one with a bit of a squeak. Ran down in Tipperary behind a nice horse called Diamond Stilettos, who ran well on debut here at the Curragh. So I can't see the winner coming outside of those four, as the market suggests, but I think 13 to 8 for Sparrow, given her overall profile, looks a fair bet.
Okay, Sparrow then in the 2.15. On to the 2.45 next, and this one is a handicap. It's over the 6-furlong trip, and the betting this morning is headed by Tyler Iwunda, who seems to like it at the Curragh. His last two efforts here have been very good efforts, Andy. Do you think he'll continue that trend here? He's a 4-1 favourite, and then he's 5-1 barring. So value in this race as well.
Yeah, there is, yeah. To be honest, it's a race where the market's gone with the kind of the form horses at the track. No great surprise to see Tyler Iwunda favourite here, as you pointed out. He's run here twice. He won back in the middle of September when he beat most of today's runners, and he did exactly the same next time out when he was well drawn. He was up towards the stand side. He got beat by a couple of horses who I actually think are up to group standard, particularly the winner, that Nero Emperor. Got a huge cruising speed and a massive turn of foot. It'll be interesting to see where Tommy Stack takes that particular horse next time out. And English Deer is a very good three-year-old as well. I think he's going to be a horse to follow between now and the end of the season, maybe on the all-weather. I imagine Paul Deegan will get a race out of him. But believe me, Creary's horses still remain in good form, as we saw with Fee Solana winning at Newmarket on Saturday. And I think Tyler Iwunda is very much the one to beat, as we said. He's got a reasonably good draw today. He likes to force the pace as well. He's always a horse who's on the speed. So that's... the combination is going to make him quite difficult to beat here, or certainly quite difficult to be out of the frame. 4-1's a fair price. You could also say that about Invincible Ridge as well, who hasn't got the best of draws today, but he didn't have that either last time when he was drawn in stall 3 of 24. He's won an Herculean race, really, right down the middle of the track. Now, he was only beaten by Nero Emperor down the middle, who I think's a group horse, and albeit 5's not a brilliant draw, at the same time, it's not a total disaster, as Belmont Mast proved on Sunday when he won from stall 2. I think sometimes getting a clear run down the middle actually can count for a lot. Sometimes you could be up the stand run and not get a clear run. That'd be even worse. So I'm prepared probably to go with Invincible Ridge once again here each way. He's 5-1. I do think the danger is Tyler Iwunda. I won't go as far as to say it's between the two because it is a wide open handicap, but I'd go with Invincible Ridge at 5-1.
Okay, Invincible Ridge in that one. Then on to the 3.15 next. This one is an EBF maiden over 7 furlongs, and it's for unraced two-year-olds. So we're going on pedigree and stables and everything else here rather than form. And Ebonoran and Tigris River are the 3-1 joint favourites this morning. Corbus 6-1, Table Rock 15-2, Adelaide 8-1, Sailor Swan 8-1, 9-1 for Ponfay, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So you've got John Ox's runners in there, you've got Dermot Weld, you've got Aidan O'Brien, Jim Bolger. Who's who of stables, Andy, but who's going to come out in front?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Yeah, it's hard for me to nominate something with any degree of confidence at this stage. And so you've seen the betting develop. William Hillock on 3-1. Each of two, Tigris River and Aborian, of course, representing two powerful stables. One of them in particular is in reasonably good form at the moment, considering how bad a season they've had, and that's the John Ox camp, obviously, with this Aborian, colt by Oasis Dream. We're definitely going to monitor him because he looks as though he's nicely bred and could make him into a smart individual. Of course, Aidan O'Brien is represented by Tigris River. Now, he won with a horse called Century on Sunday with a similar profile to this, kind of middle-distance pedigree. He's by Montjeu, Tigris River. But you have a look at all his offspring and his siblings in that particular line, and they're all sort of mile and a quarter, mile and a half horses. So this 7-furlong trip would probably be right down the bottom rung of his salmon spectrum. He's going to be an interesting runner. The stalls are on the far side today, so actually stall 15 is the flip side of stall 15 when they race over 5 and 6 furlongs. In a sense, they're running down the middle of the track, so he's not particularly well drawn, really, Tigris River, if you're coming from that school of thought. And maybe he might just struggle today, being as that one or two of his more fancied rivals are on that far side rail. So it's a race I'm probably going to sit out with regards offering up a selection. Just keep your eye on the market. Out of the two, I think Eberoran is probably the most interesting, intriguing runners at the front two in the market.
Okay. On to the 3.45 next. This is race 5 on the card. And this is a handicap over 7 furlongs. Diamond Days is the favourite this morning and has been backed from 7s into 6s. Peggy's Leg is 10-1. Have a Nice Day, 14-1 into 11-1. Winning Impact is 12s. September Lily, 12s out to 14s. As is Tough Lady. It's 14-1 for Elusive Gent and 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Plenty of market activity this morning, Andy. Wide open handicap. What do you like here?
Yeah, probably I'd nominate a couple against the field. I mean, Diamond Days, I mean, how should this horse hasn't won a race? God only knows. I mean, 23 starts now, and agonisingly went close to breaking her duck here on Sunday in a race that was won by unbelievably Pastiches, who's similarly up to that point gathering up a reputation of being a bit of a twicer. So something had to give on Sunday, if you like, and it was Pastiche's turn. Diamond Days was very unlucky as well. You have to say that she might have won that day had she got a clear run. She went for a run between New Regalia and another horse that was dying, and ran right at the backside of one and ended up then having to kind of switch in between horses, and that really didn't do any good. I think if she would have carried on with her run and her momentum wouldn't have been checked, she may have actually got her head in front. But the significant fact of that race, I've just done the times, funny enough, because I had a day off yesterday, and that Pastiches race was the fastest furlong for furlong time on that card, and that takes some doing considering there was three group races on that particular day. So I think the form could be okay, you know. So if I mark a 59 now back into handicap company, I'll be disappointed to say the very least, and so will Connections, if this horse at least isn't involved in the finish in some way, shape or form. So I think if you're looking for play spots or a dead each way horse, then or place only horse, I think Diamond Days definitely fits the bill. And the other one to mention at a price as well is a horse called Have a Nice Day from the Sabrina Harty camp. The horse, similar to the favourite Diamond Days, was very unlucky last time out. That came at Dundalk a week or two ago, when not getting the best runs down the lane, which sometimes can happen at Dundalk, as we well know. He got checked in his run on more than one or two occasions, and once he got out in the clear, he obviously finished off very, very strongly to indicate he might have been in the first two or three had he got a clearer run. With that in mind, I think around about 11-12-1 this morning, doesn't look a bad bit of Eastway business for Have a Nice Day. He would probably be my number one choice out of the two at the prices, but I think either one, like I say, I think if you play spots in today, both of those two should give you a good run for your money.
On to the 4:15 next, then race 6 on the card. This is another handicap, and this one is over a mile and a half. And Ancient Sands is the favourite this morning, and he's banging form at the moment. He's won two over hurdles and an all-weather handicap at Dundalk. I'm sure you saw that one, Andy. He's been backed as well this morning, 6-1 in to 5-1 at the top of the betting, and then 7-1 barring him. So do you think he's the one to beat, Andy?
I think he is, yeah. He's got could have done with a better draw. Nobody's actually mentioned that in the Racing Post today, but stall 22 of 22... He's absolutely the coffin box on the round track here at the Curry. He's going to have to do some running around that outside to win the race, if not just to be competitive. But there's no denying if he can pull it off, he's certainly the horse in form to do so. He could not come in here in any better nick. He's run a series of good races, including when he ran fourth here at the time before in a similar race to this, an amateur rider race, when he was behind Placia and several other in-form performers. He then went to Dundalk, as you said the other night, and won very readily. With a little bit more up his sleeve than the winning margin suggests. He did the fastest furlong per furlong time on that particular car, which is always very commendable for a mile and a half race, to tell you that it was a good heat. And his circuit time also wasn't too bad either. He now goes back to the Curra with a decent apprentice on, just to knock off a little bit of weight, which will obviously help considering he's carrying the steadier of 10 stone 6. All in all, an informed runner that goes well at the track, that's been knocking out some very fast times. The only negative, as I said, is the draw. The other one I've got to mention here is much better berth than the favourite. Similarly to Ancient Sands, a horse that comes off the back of a win at Dundalk last time out on the all-weather, and that's Banker Burke from the banging form Jessica Harrington stable. I'll probably just about make this my selection on account of the draw. I think if Ancient Sands wasn't drawn on the outside, I probably would have definitely gone for him. But I'll stick with Banker Burke because he also did quite a good number the other day when he won at Dundalk, and he started him very strongly off the back of sound fractions. And to be fair, the win wasn't coming out of turn because he's run well down in a claimer at Tipperary the time before, in again another decently run race. He likes fastest ground, which he's going to get today, and he stays really well, which is the combination you need in these kind of races. Hopefully he'll race handy like he did at Dundalk the other night. And at 8-1, he makes plenty of each-way appeal.
OK, on to the penultimate race, and this is the 4:45, and this is another maiden. This one's for three-year-olds and over, and it's for the fillies, and we're over a mile and a half for this one. It's Lavinyard who heads the betting for this evening. This Jim Bolger filly was second on debut behind the well-backed Calibrate at Goram Park, and that was over a mile and one furlong. She was worked up in the stalls and ran very green on that occasion, so did well to finish second. Plenty of potential, Andy, but what do you make of the step-up in trip?
I think that should be all right, to be fair. You know, she's certainly bred to. I don't put her first run down to lack of stamina. Obviously, she used up a little bit of energy before the race, as the comments in the paper said. She had to wear the Monty and Roberts rug, if my memory serves me correct. Obviously, she's got the hood on for the first time. She's a very buzzy, on-her-toes kind of filly. Funny enough, Gibraltar's got one or two of those fillies that are a little bit highly strung, and they're not the most easiest to keep a lid on. So I think the key to her really is maybe watch her go down to the start. You don't have to bet her this morning, even though the temptation is there at 2-1, because that doesn't look a bad price, and actually what she did on the racetrack behind that very good horse, Dermot Wells, Calibrate, just to see how her demeanour is on the way to the start, to see if she's getting worked up, to see if she's getting sweaty. She takes all the preliminaries in today, then obviously... you know, she becomes a more confident bet, because second favourite, A Star Is Born, has had plenty of chances. You know, and she's only rated 74, so you'd think a horse, Kate, who's going to take this, has got a better rating than 74. If there is to be another one who's got the capabilities of winning this race, it's definitely Ebinea from the John Ox stable, who ran in a deplorably bad race here last time out behind A Star Is Born in that race that was won by Wandering Star. Now, she went into that race off a good run at Roscommon behind Murphy's Delight when the two of them slugged it out like a couple of prize fighters from a long, long way out. Now, if she could be relied upon to run to that form, then she'd almost win this race. I suppose 11-2 each way wouldn't be a bad way to approach her if you could, you know, find out a reason why she was so poor here last time out. Maybe it was because one or two of the ox horses, like I said at the time, weren't running all that well, and now... within the space of 3 or 4 weeks afterwards, they are a little bit more of a reliable entity. So I think Ebinea certainly doesn't want to be chucked off your list just because of one bad run, but it's definitely the form horses at Laviniad. As I said, just keep an eye on the way down to start. I think that's going to be the crucial factor to her chance today.
OK, and the final race of the day at Bacurra is the 5.15. We'll finish with the Colts and Geldings maiden over 1.5 miles. And the betting is headed by Ray's Creek, who's 6-4. And his second last time went very well backed. He's a good piece of form. The winner on that occasion was Venus De Milo, who's gone on to win in Group Company. The third was... Heirloom, sorry, who's gone on to win in Listed Company. So that form looks pretty good. He's been gelded. Is it your nap selection, Ronnie? That's what we need to know.
No, he's not, no. I do like Race Creek. I wish he wasn't in the race, to be honest. It's a little bit irritating to see him in the lineup, because otherwise I think the horse I'm going to select for this race would be an absolute certainty. I certainly am very frightened of the Harrington runner. Obviously, yard in great form. He's been gelded since that run at Fairy House, and that might be the elixir of life that he's needed, really, to be honest, because he should have won at least one of those last two races he's run in. Massively eye-catching back at Leopardstown on the 12th of May when, to be honest, I think he should have nearly won or gone closer to winning. I can't believe he got beat that night at Fairy House. That still haunts me. That I remember backing this horse at 6-1 each way in the morning. It went up 5-4 and somehow it managed to get beat. But as it got beat by a horse who's gone on to win a Group 2 race subsequently, then how unlucky can you be? Heirloom, as you said, has you know, boosted that form line on more than one occasion. So, just using those two horses as a guide, this horse, Race Creek, has arguably run into the market up in the marks in at least the mid-90s, which means that you're going to have to be at, you know, at 85 plus or 90 horse to beat Race Creek if he's in the same kind of form he was in mid-June. The one, therefore, that I can only see giving him any sign of chance and any kind of race, and my napping today is Cape Glory from the Mickey Halford stable. Me and Gary Capewell have been eulogising this horse's praises in the last week or two, saying we must back this horse whatever happens next time out, because the race he was involved in at Roscommon the other day was of a very high standard, the fastest furlong per furlong time on the card by an absolute mile. They went a Herculean gallop in that race that day, and there was only two horses left standing at the end. One of them was Timokai, who was the eventual winner from the Ox Camp, but chasing him home was the very brave gutsy Cape Glory, who went all the way to the line and certainly proved that he's going to win a race of this nature sooner rather than later. Back in third was Sardinia, who has boosted the form with an easy win the other day down in Navan when he got the better of Wahid. So I think the form is really reliable. Speed figure tells you that it was a good race. He goes back to the Curra, a scene where he's run well before. That was the time before. If you're holding a gun to my head and I had to sort of nominate one racetrack that would be ideal for him, I do think he's going to be a Dundalk horse. He's got a lovely long flowing action. I don't think we'll see the best of him until you see him run there. If he doesn't win today, then maybe a mile and a quarter race at Dundalk will be ideal for him. But I've got to stick with Cape Glory. I believe in that run down in Roscommon. And albeit Race Creek's going to be a big danger, I'm going to stick with the Mickey Halford horse.
OK, Cape Glory, then, the nap selection of Andy Holding at the Curra this afternoon. Then let's have a summary of all your selections, if you wouldn't mind, Andy, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, decent action today at the Curra. Very competitive stuff, as we said at the top of the show. Afternoon sunlight, however, should get punters off to a good start in the opener. Second race, again, similar to the first race. I do think Sparrow sets a very high standard and from a good draw should make the others go in that 2.15. My two against the field, they are the front two in the market in the 2.45. Tillery Wunder, the core specialist, and my number one choice, Invincible Ridge, each way against him, particularly with Joseph O'Brien booked. No real opinion in the 3.15, but do keep your eye on the betting as always there. In the 3.45, two against the field, Diamond Days, but number one out of the two would be Have a Nice Day. Ran about 12-1 this morning, that looks a decent price, and lucky last time I had it at Dundalk. The draw just slightly put me off Ancient Sands, albeit he comes in great form and has got some really good speed figures in the book. So I'm going to go with Banker Burke, who's much better drawn in stall 8. Laviniad, a very buzzy horse from the Bulger camp, is my choice in the 4.45. And my nap is Cape Glory in the 5.15.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much for speaking to us again. Good luck with those selections in the Curragh this afternoon, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow morning. There's some good racing to come over jumps, isn't there, next couple of days?
There is, just down tomorrow, so I look forward to that.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.